natural resources like drinking water, open space to absorb noise and pollution, and safe and effective roadways. If these limitations are not respected, destruction of the very spaces that make this area so attractive will likely occur. There's a limit to the population that can be packed into this area at any one time before it begins to adversely impact the environment, the resources, transportation, wildlife, and the permanent residents who call this area home. We understand that's why Taney County, the state of Missouri, and the federal agencies have implemented zoning and development standards to regulate this density, the population, the resource use, the accessibility, the safe and environmental controls, so that they can fairly and equitably approve, deny, or modify residential, commercial, and industrial development. There's two particular issues in the CID as well as the TDD proposals that I hear quite often, almost daily, and the permanent residents in this area are very concerned about, and I'm sure you have heard these also. And those two issues are roadway plans and continuing access to potable water. First, on the roads. How will the residential feeder roads be safely and effectively connected to the proposed four-lane expansion of Highway 86? The steepness of the grades, the limitations to the right-of-way, the limited sight lines due to road curves and cross accessibility will be challenging to design for regular traffic growth, let alone planning for large events requiring the moving of large numbers of vehicles and pedestrians in a short amount of time for the area's large events that are apparently being proposed. How will the roads be designed and maintained to allow for permanent resident needs like access to emergency management services when the lanes are all used to move event traffic in and out of a one-way entrance on a one-way on one highway? How will we as residents who use this roadway every day, every season, every year, get meaningful input into these transportation design proposals? Second issue is water. How will the water usage needed to support these large venues and thousands of visitors in an intense period of time affect the area's water tables? How will the proposed water storage tanks and the 300 gallon per minute water well, as detailed in these proposals, impact on the local water aquifer? Will this be the straw that broke the camel's back that draws down the water tables to the point that private residential water wells will be rendered dry or necessitate redrilling to lower depths at great private expense? This has been occurring on a limited basis that we hear about with the current rate of population intensity of the existing visitor accommodations in the area. If you take a look at the water well data on the Missouri Department of Natural Resources website, there appears to demonstrate that the water table around the Table Rock Lake aquifer is affected by both the lack of rainfall recharge, as we are all experiencing, as well as appreciable charge during the seasonal usage. How will we as residents, again, who maintain private water wells, get meaningful input into these water usage proposals and impact on our water rights? I hope you all will take these concerns and use them in your evaluation and challenge the development for the long-term sustainability of this area, its residents, and its resources. The county property owners, the county voters, and the lake resources were here long before these intense venues were thought of, and their rights and concerns should be protected, preserved, and honored. Expanding the transportation system and accessing the potable drinking water resources for the benefit of an extremely intense commercial development should not be at the detriment of the thousands of permanent residents in this area. Thank you very much. Would you like a copy of my testimony? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Did you want those questions addressed?
That would be wonderful.
Would you guys like to address those concerns?
So I think there's Ms. McGuire, first of all, thank you for your comments. It isn't very often that we get invited to talk about conservation, but there probably isn't a topic that is more relevant at Big Cedar than talking about protection of the environment and conservation as a general theme of every nature-based activity that we're engaged in. So the first thing I'd like to say is that this gives us the opportunity to explain, which I think a lot of people don't know, is that Mr. Morris's commitment to preserving the Ozarks, the feel of the Ozarks, the aesthetic of the Ozarks, the experience of the Ozark, has brought him to take virtually all of the assets that we've been developing over the last few years and place them into his foundation. So all of our golf courses, all of Top of the Rock, have been put into the foundation so that those assets in perpetuity, as they operate, become self-sustaining, and they will preserve that character that they have today. And as you know, when we build roads on the campus at Big Cedar, you don't see street lights, you don't see concrete abutments, you don't see concrete bridges. You see Amish hand-built bridges. You see things that are rock cut into the side and built by hand and carved by hand, as opposed to pouring concrete and building all of the symbols of modern architecture. So there's probably no property, including anything in this region, that places more emphasis on the preservation of the character of the environment in which we all have the benefit of living. So that's, I hope that that answers some of your questions about our commitment to conservation. The second thing is with respect to safety and the design of the roadway system, that's really something that is determined by the Missouri Department of Highways. All of access, egress, the traffic patterns, the studies, the safety measures, the intersections, all of those are determined by established written standards set by MoDOT. And regardless of our input into addressing that, ultimately the Missouri Department of Highways makes all of those determinations based on their criteria. So if there's any potential safety issue, those are addressed directly with MoDOT, who have to approve and accept any plans being consistent with their design criteria.
Right. With all due respect, though, you as the developer design the road and submit your plans to MoDOT and the other individual agencies. So you do have some ability to make those aesthetic and pedestrian friendly and all of those issues. You do have input into that and would have the ability to even go above and beyond those standards if it were required to meet some of the concerns of the neighborhood.
When you're designing, for example, if the reference is Highway 86, which I believe what we're talking about, I don't believe that's correct. And by that, what I mean is that the engineers that are delegated the task of designing any type of expansion, the developer does not have discretion to say, I want the right-of-way to be X, or I want a driveway here, or permission to have a driveway here. Those things are based on designing to a state-determined criteria, and the developer does not get to modify or change that without MoDOT. So from a public perspective, if a MoDOT criteria does not appear to address what a resident's concern would be, the resolution of that would be to address it with MoDOT, that basically by explaining the whatever reasons exist for thinking that their design criteria is an unsafe criteria. So we don't tell MoDOT how to design a four-lane road. We simply have the engineers apply their criteria to design it. So if there's a fault in that, then I think MoDOT would be the proper venue to raise that concern. But going to the next item that was brought up was water. And I'm not sure, you know, why that would be a concern, because the aquifer of all of our water wells that we tap into range from 650 feet to 1,700 feet, and most of our bigger wells are at the 1,700-foot level. So I don't think, and there's never in the history in the last 25 years ever been raised any concern that that aquifer has at any time in the past been in jeopardy, nor does it have any impact, to my knowledge, and I'm not an engineer, but to my knowledge, I don't believe that has any impact whatsoever on a 300 or 400-foot well.
Just so you know, and I apologize, what was your name again, ma'am?
Megan McGuire.
Ms. McGuire, so just so you know, there's been some concerns about wells in that area for a few years now. I reached out to University of Missouri and University of Arkansas and talked to, they're not hydrologists, but whatever the individuals are that study aquifers and wells and how that works, and I was satisfied with their answer, because I did talk to some engineers out of Springfield as well, and I was satisfied with the answer that the wells, and it's all on DNR's website, the depths and everything, right? And the wells that larger businesses and cities actually access is quite a bit deeper. It's a completely different aquifer. And so I know if you're right there on the lake, like down at Tate Road, it's about a 500-foot well that's drilled. I don't know how deep the actual pump is, but I know the well is drilled like 505. So again, I was satisfied with reaching out to University of Missouri and University of Arkansas both, and just kind of learning how the aquifers work. I think that the reason we have some issues, especially in that area, is because of the people that's moved in, not necessarily because of the businesses. That was what was brought to me by those two universities both. So just so my own research that I did a couple years ago to try and find out what was going on for sure. Thank you. And do you want us to respond at all to the roads?
Great.
So I wish our road, is Devin in here? I don't see him. So our road and bridge administrator's name is Devin Huff, and I know that whenever, was it Ravine that you guys, what was the road that we kind of did, whenever you guys wanted to do that over, is it Ravine? So like on Ravine, I know that they wanted to, Big Cedar Entity wanted to make some changes, and because they didn't follow county road standards or whatever standards we had in place, we didn't allow them to do certain things. So as far as the aesthetics though, as long as they don't impede, then, and again, that's whenever attorneys get involved, engineers get involved, road and bridge gets involved. But I do know that those were all still done to the specs that were needed. And then another example is out there, like on the way to Buffalo Ridge. You guys change names too much of stuff. I still call it the Shooting Academy. So Buffalo Ridge, there were some stop signs that they wanted taken down. We would not allow them to put up there. So I think, if I remember right, last time I went out there was two different stop signs. One that's the actual red octagon in-your-face steps stop sign, and I think next to it was some more decorative, blended into the environment stop signs. So there's a couple examples there to where they still have to make sure that regardless of what they want, they have to follow the road standards.
Does anyone else want to come forward?
You stated, my name is Junior Crafton. I'm a Oakmont resident and also president of the Oakmont Homeowners Association. I just have a couple of questions. Ms. McGuire pretty much took care of most of the concerns as our homeowners association kind of had questions about. There is a couple of questions that I would direct. You said you want me to speak it to the board. I have for Mr. Mahoney, if I may ask the board. First off, is it my understanding from what he stated here earlier they plan on within 24 months or 2 years having this completed if they pass the